I want to turn back this morning to the letter of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and read a short passage today. Paul wrote, "May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this." The football, little one, has Dallas Cowboys written on it. I don't think they're going to do too well, I'm afraid, this year. Too late, actually. I played football in high school. I was the center on the Burton Rams football team. And on the defensive line, my job, and I had one job on the defensive line, and that was to kill the quarterback. I had an objective every single Friday night. My objective, to break through that line and go after that scrawny, pipsqueak quarterback with that football. And I was pretty good. I mean, all 325 pounds of Greg Neal could get through that line pretty easily. All I had to do was buffalo my way through. They called me the Moose, because I could bang through and get to that quarterback and sack him, and he'd go down. I mean, I want to tell you, when you get somebody like me landing on top of you, you're going down. Especially if you're a scrawny quarterback. I don't care if you are 6'4". One day I got through that line. I had my goal set. My goal was set on that quarterback, and I got through that line, and he was getting ready to go back, and he was getting ready to throw it, I think. And I hit him so hard that the ball went out of his hands, and I caught it. And I realized, I'm holding this football, and we're still in play. And the quarterback had already gone to the ground. And I look, and there, between me and the goal, was 40 yards of nobody. And so all 325 pounds of me started running. Boom, boom, boom. Towards that end zone. Now, I knew I wasn't alone. I could hear everybody yelling, "Go, go, run, 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 faster, faster." What I didn't know was this pipsqueak of a running back was coming up behind me, like warped tin, all 125 pounds of him. And he leaped out and grabbed me by the waist. He didn't know too much about physics. Because I have a whole lot more inertia than he does, and I'm in motion. And he don't have enough to stop me. And you should see the videotape. I wish I had that videotape today of me dragging this guy across 20 yards and into the end zone where I spiked the ball for 6 points. One of my favorite memories from all of my high school years in football was that touchdown. I made several other touchdowns, mostly through fumbles and one interception that I caught. Imagine that. But that was my favorite. I mean, here I was trolling with some guy hanging on to me across that end zone. My goal was to sack that guy, to sack that quarterback, to knock him down, preferably for a loss of 5, 6, 7 yards, if possible. My goal was never to get a touchdown. My goal was to sack the quarterback so that they wouldn't get a touchdown. But once I had broken through that line, and once I sacked that quarterback, and once that ball popped out of his hands and dropped into mine, my goal changed. My goal went from being focused on the quarterback being focused on that end zone. Now, my initial goal, I had achieved. And once you achieve your initial goal, you don't go and sit down and say, "I'm done. Somebody else play now." That's what a lot of people do. I've seen the Cowboys do that too many times. Yeah. That's what too many people do. They finish their initial goal and they sit down. Okay, done. No, you're not done. You're never done. Once you finish your initial goal, Once you reach your primary objective, you got secondary and tertiary objectives. You got more things you're supposed to do. You're never finished. That's true in football, and that's true in the spiritual life. And that's what we see here today in 1 Thessalonians. I bet y'all were wondering, how is Greg going to get from football to this reading from 1 Thessalonians? May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul be kept, and body be kept sound. And the God of peace sanctify you entirely. This is a Wesleyan theme. This is a theme that John Wesley pulled out of the Bible and out of the church's theological collection of writing and thought. This is a very important theme for the history of the church and for its ministry. The message of sanctification. The message of entire sanctification. You see, the Christian life is one of sanctification. It's a life that's never finished. We're always being moved on and transformed more and more into greater and greater likenesses of the image of Jesus Christ. We're always moving on towards the image of Christ Jesus, toward the will of God, towards the goal that God has for us, the goal of being like Christ. And we're always being given more and more of the grace of God to become like Christ. You're called to have Christ's mind and the Spirit of Christ, which gave himself up for us. We are called to be Christ's body in the world, mind, body, spirit. We are called to be transformed, sanctified, made holy into the body, mind, and spirit of Christ. This is sanctification, my friends. It's a theme that John Wesley loved, and he pulled out of Scripture and he used again and again and again. The theme is simple. Once you achieve your goal, your first goal, which is salvation, you don't just sit down. You're not done when you've been saved. When you first say yes to God's grace, you're not finished. There's more. There's so much more. And that's the life of sanctification, a life of empowerment, a life in which the Holy Spirit gives to us that which we need to live a Christian life, to live as God has called us to live, to achieve each and every subsequent goal that God sets for us. This is sanctification. Sanctification is very simple. Beyond salvation, God wants to take us not just as saved sinners, but then transform us so that over time we become less and less sinners and more like Jesus. But God doesn't even stop there. God wants us not only to be more and more like Jesus, but God wants us to become truly, entirely sanctified. What does that mean? What does it mean to be entirely sanctified? In the laws of physics, the laws of relativity, it states very clearly that as you accelerate a mass towards the speed of light, that mass increases. I mean, I increase in mass when I eat. Most of you do too. But if you were to take me and accelerate me to a sizable... Watch it. When you take me and accelerate me to a sizable fraction of the speed of light, my mass increases. Now, I don't notice it, but you sitting still would notice that my mass would increase dramatically. And the closer I got to the speed of light, exponentially my mass would increase to the point where it would be infinite. If I reached the speed of light, my mass would be infinite. Sometimes I feel like I have an infinite mass, but I don't. But if you were to accelerate me to the speed of light, if you could, I would have an infinite mass. And that means you couldn't accelerate me anymore, and you couldn't decelerate me. You couldn't slow me down. I would always be in motion at the speed of light. You can't attain the speed of light in the laws of physics. You can get closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the speed of light. You can get to 99.999999% the speed of light, but you can't get that last half fraction of a decimal to get it to 100%. You just can't do it. You get closer and closer and closer, but you can't quite make it. Why? Because your mass keeps getting greater and greater with each little fraction. That's kind of like the spiritual life. We become more and more and more and more and more like the image of God in Jesus Christ. We take on, through sanctification, more and more aspects of God's will for us, more and more aspects of God's design on our lives, more and more aspects of the love of Jesus Christ that we are called to proclaim to all the world. Through sanctification, we become more and more like God wants us to be. The simple fact is that because we are human beings, we will never become Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can attain 99.999999% of the perfection of Jesus Christ in this life, but we'll never quite completely make it until we enter into glory. That doesn't mean that we can't attain a touch of God's perfection. When John Wesley talked about attaining perfection in God, what he meant was, at any given moment in your life, at some special moments in your life, God's grace so falls upon you that your will becomes married to God's will. That your will and your desires and your dreams become married to God's will and God's desires and God's dreams for you. And that in that instant, in that moment in your life, you come to know the perfect will and love of God. In that moment, you have perfection with God. For that moment, and by the power of the Holy Spirit only, are we graced to see what it will be like to live in heaven with Jesus. Because we're humans, we'll fall away from that perfection. But we know that we can attain it for a fleeting instant, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying here. Entire sanctification. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound. That's really complete or whole. Be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. That's good news. We can't do it. When I caught that ball, and I looked at the 40 yards between myself and that end zone, the first thing that ran through my head was, I can't do it. I'm already exhausted. It was a cold, wet, rainy day, much like today. And even when I was that young, I had arthritic problems, and I was exhausted, and my joints ached, and I was tired, and I didn't want to have to run that far. But I remembered what my dad said. He said, Greg, when you have that football and you're in play, don't quit until someone knocks you down. Don't quit. And I remember what the coach said. I knew what the coach would do to me if I quit. So I didn't quit. I started to run. It was just a little run, but it was a run. And as I ran, with each step, I said, Jesus, let me do it. Jesus, let me do it. So much so that I was so focused on the goal that I didn't notice that this 125-pound pipsqueak was hanging onto my waist. I'm serious. I really didn't notice it. But I was dragging an extra person. But I had a tail going across that end zone. God made it possible. My faith and the love of God and my fear of my coach made it possible. Likewise, in this religious life that we are called to live, in the spiritual life, we can't do it. We cannot do it. But Jesus can do it through us. And we're not just talking about the spiritual part of our life. We're talking about every part of our life. The spiritual part, the mental part, the emotional part, the physical part. Body, soul, and spirit together. We are promised that we will be sanctified entirely by the power of the Holy Spirit. That means that we will become the body of Christ in mind, spirit, and body. This Advent season, as we continue to prepare for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ as that baby in Bethlehem of Judea, and in during this season as we prepare for His return in glory, let us take a moment to consider our dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God, upon the peace of God, which we sang about today in the anthem. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Do we truly believe that in this time of preparation for the coming of our Savior, for the coming of the Messiah? Let us truly live and truly prepare, knowing that the peace of God will come to us to transform us, but then go out and transform the world. And let us give thanks to God for this wonderful grace which sanctifies us and makes us complete. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us affirm our faith to the historic confession of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find in the back of your hymnals, number 881. Let us stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day He rose from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and stood at the right hand of God the Father Almighty.